Helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
Alrighty then, it's that time for Go Yard, and we love being here every Thursday evening at this time, usually live in the studio, sometimes not, but we're glad to be here. I'm Mama Mac, along with my co-host, the famous Dr. Angel Falzone. And Dr. Angel, you don't know I'm going to start the show with this, but I just was thinking about this as I was driving here. We've been in this new series, which we're going to conclude today, part three of Teens Out of Control. And we're living in a very interesting time in our nation right now. And I like, and you like, to keep our shows current, even though then later they're a podcast and they're not current perhaps for somebody that they listen to it, you know, 5 months from now. But we are living in a very difficult time with the mass murder just last Wednesday in Parkland, Florida. We live in Clearwater, Florida. We're very close, really not that far, a few hours away. And I think that people need to understand, we certainly don't feel that all teens are out of control by any means. We are, you're a mother of three, and I am a mother of three and grandkids, and I've got several grandkids that are teens. And I really think that we need to make some kind of a statement about supporting these kids who are going out on a limb and really trying to make an issue here out of the gun issue. Whatever side somebody's on, it's a matter of safe schools. I heard somebody say that last night, and it's not about. I mean, the priority should be safe schools. However you come down on which side of it, right? Do you want to comment on that?
No, I agree. And, you know, and it is good to see kids take initiative and get involved in their communities and their governments. And I think it's a great lesson. We've seen, you know, our young adults have kind of really taken a back to getting involved with political things and government things. And to see this generation rise to at least getting involved, no matter which side. I mean, they're voicing their feelings and they're getting heard. And that's important.
That really is. And I just was so impressed by some of the young people's statements on the air last night that I heard a few things, you know, or early this morning. And so we don't want anybody to think we think all teens are out of control.
Not at all.
Yours are certainly not. Mine have grown out of their teen years, but my grandsons are good. But there's so many families that struggle with teens that are out of control in this day and age, right? There's so many. This is a common problem. This is not a problem that is, oh, you never hear about kids that get in trouble. And you know, another word for this is troubled kids, troubled teens.
True. And, you know, when you do have a kid that's out of control or troubled, it disrupts everything in your world.
It
disrupts your whole family. And so it's one of those things that it's hard to get through, and it's hard to, and there's a lot of shame in it for parents. I think they feel a lot of guilt and responsibility. So they're not easy to go seek help or advice to, you know, get through this difficult time until it's like super bad. And then they're coming in like desperate because they don't know what else to do. And I'm always encourager to, this is not about parent shame. This is not about your guilt. This is about when you're starting to have issues. And a lot of our parents will start seeing these issues around the middle school years.
Right, yeah.
Get help as soon as, so that you can help it not grow and, you know, get a hold of it before it does get super out of control.
Absolutely. But if you're in one of those situations, or you know somebody that is, that has teens that are maybe suffering from depression or mood disorders or, you know, domestic violence, hurting a parent, or speaking really, really nasty things to the parents, disrespect. That's what this series has been about, to try to help people cope. And you might even want to call a friend and say, hey, catch this on podcast at Go Yard here at tantalknetwork.com. Go to Go Yard on the podcast, because this is part three and the last part of this series, Teens Out of Control.
It is. And, you know, you highlighted something that I just kind of want to expound on a little bit. A lot of times when our teens are out of control, there can be an underlying mental health issue to that. And so as parents, we're trying to treat the behaviors, but we really need to treat what's under that. Is it depression? Are they having issues with anxiety? Are they having issues with self-esteem or, you know, who am I and how do I fit in? Or are they experiencing suicidal thoughts? I mean, these are underlying mental health issues that a lot of teens experience.
Exactly. So that's a good thing to remind our audience that if this is going on, try to get at what's really going on there.
Right.
Get help. I mean, you're a therapist and you're a licensed mental health counselor, PhD. You work in this field all the time. It's so important that people value therapeutic help that they can get and that's out there with insurance company. I mean, insurance covers some of this.
Insurance does cover some of this. And there's community-based programs or school-based programs. So there are avenues for that type of help and treatment. And a lot of times that is really what we need to start working on before we'll start seeing those improvements in our home.
Exactly. Well, and you mentioned it. Sometimes kids are just starting down a bad path and you sense it. And if you sense it because you see it and you hear it in your house and slam doors and perhaps missing school and being very abusive verbally or physically to family members or whatever, disrespectful behavior. We would want to emphasize, don't we? You got to catch it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, the quicker you catch this, the better your outcomes will be. And the longer term your outcomes will be. And so what I've noticed with a lot of our kids when they start talking back, you know, they might start at 4 and 5 or 8 and it's kind of funny and cute,
first,
but we can't treat it that
way.
Because by the time they're 12 and 14 and 17, it really grows into an astronomical issue. And so catching those little things early is really important.
Very important.
Letting our kids know who's in charge here. I'm not talking about being a domineering parent, but there is an authority gap and they need to learn that authority gap.
And, you know, I think in this generation, we've seen so many kids grow up kind of in control of the home.
Oh, yes.
And I think that's the root of a lot of these problems that parents and grandparents and whatever face now, don't you think?
I agree with you. There are a lot of kids, and they've had control since they were little.
Right.
You know, the parents, you know, will schedule the whole house routines around this one person, this one child. Instead of bringing our child to an expectation, they just set the expectation around the kid. And we can't do that.
No.
Because we're giving them a whole lot of power.
And that's where the awareness that this is going to lead to more serious issues, not less. I mean, a lot of times I think parents seem to feel, maybe grandparents too, that if we indulge the child and give him what he wants, he'll be better. He'll act better because he got what he wanted.
Right. He'll
What's
be content.
What's wrong with that?
Well, what's wrong with that is we're creating a generation of entitled kids, and life doesn't work that way. Kids have to be able to handle disappointment and the word no and learn to cope with that.
Exactly. Which brings us to this whole discussion, and let's just have this discussion right now, about kids' rights and their privileges. Because a lot of kids, I think, have grown up in homes where they feel that they are the one that has to be happy at all times. And if it means that they've done some awful things, well, you know, what is, I'm just a kid. So what if you caught me, doing drugs or drinking or skipping school, you know, whatever, I'm happy. Or, you know, do you know what I'm saying?
That
whole philosophy right now.
There is. So there's this underlying thought process that certain things are rights and they should just have it because they breathe. Having a cell phone, a lot of kids will take that as a right. I should have a cell phone. I shouldn't have to have accountability. I shouldn't have to do anything for it. I should just get it because I want it. Everybody else has one.
Okay, let's talk about that, because I know parents who get their kids cell phones at 5 and 6
mm-hmm.
years old.
Absolutely.
What about that?
And now I'm seeing 8 and 9 year olds with porn addictions. And we wonder, how did this happen? Well, we just handed them the world, literally, on a device. And most parents don't monitor that.
Whoa. Okay, so that's caution number one today on this show. I mean, it's not okay to let your kids have free reign of the internet. There's too much awful, awful stuff out there.
You don't know who they're inviting in. They don't even know who they're inviting in. And a lot of times kids are I think there was just an article on the news yesterday about a girl who thought she was talking to another teenager and come to find out it was a predator that she was talking to.
Absolutely. I think that'd be easy to happen.
All the time. So it's not even that, my kid's a good kid and wouldn't do something wrong. But there's other people who do things wrong and try to come into our kids. So we definitely, it's not a right to have a cell phone. You don't just get it because you breathe, first of all. And we need to have it with, accountability and responsibility.
Okay, back to that point of the cell phone. I've also seen parents in restaurants that in order to keep their child quiet, they're handing them their cell phone. It drops on the floor. It breaks sometimes. Things happen. It's used as a device to keep them quiet, basically.
I know. And you look at some parents' cell phones and they're just crack screens.
There's all over.
These are expensive devices. Yeah. These are, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 devices that we're letting little babies play with. And I think we're teaching our children not to respect their stuff. And, if it breaks, we'll just get a new one. And that's what we're doing. But our kids aren't respecting their items either.
Exactly.
And so we need to be careful. So, I'm not saying you cannot use your cell phone for your kid, but what I am saying is, teaching them to be gentle, teaching them to be careful. And if they're dropping on the floor, they don't get it back. Don't just hand it back to them.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. There's got to be, we're going to talk about that in a minute, consequences. But anyway, rights and privileges. So often, what are some of the things you see in your daily work with kids and teenagers and whatever parents where this rights versus punishment or privilege, is just all messed up?
I think it's a lot messed up in a lot of ways. We talked about cell phones, but I'll see kids who think they turn 16 and they have the right to have a car. And their parent buy their car, pay for their insurance. And they should have a new one, by the way, because they don't want to be seen with a junky car.
So it's all about status and...
Yeah. Oh, and then a lot of kids come in with this entitlement of this car. And so when they don't get it, they are pitching fits, making life pretty miserable. And they're not working for it. They're not contributing to it. And they just think it's a right.
You think this is a common problem across America?
I see it as a big problem. Absolutely.
Okay.
They think that they're just entitled.
So there's a lot of peer pressure to have a car at 16.
Drive by your American high schools and you will see some pretty darn nice cars sitting there. And those are students' cars because if you go by the teacher parking lot, those are where you see the not nice cars.
Right. Well, that's true. Really.
It is.
In a lot of communities, that's the way it is. And so this whole thing of rights versus privileges is that has gotten a lot of teens in trouble, don't you think? With the rights thing, they feel entitled. This is my right. I should have a cell phone. I should have a car. What else should they have?
They feel they have the right when they turn 18 to not have any rules, even if they're still living in their parents' home.
Yes,
I don't
heard
get
that
a curfew. I'm an adult. I'm 18.
I'm 18. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So where's the job? Are you working? Are you supporting the household? What are you doing?
They have a right. They feel like they should have a right to get money to go do whatever activities they want to do with their friends.
So they just say, put money. I know some teenage boys that just say, put money in my account. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they expect it.
And
the parents
it.
Do it. Sometimes, always, or most of the time.
Yeah, and that's feeding to those rights of entitlement. They don't have a right to have that. It is, it is a privilege if I let you have a car or drive a car. It is not a right.
Yeah.
You don't get it because you breathe. A right means you get something and you do nothing in exchange.
Okay.
A privilege means you're getting this and there's accountability and responsibility with this extra freedom.
Okay, so privilege is where a lot of things happen because a lot of kids don't realize that it can be taken away. They consider the car, they consider their curfew or whatever, or 18 years old, still living in parents' house and eating parents' food and all that.
But they don't want rules and accountability.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that a common problem in this nation?
Absolutely. I hear it all the time. And when the parent tries to enforce something, then we get a lot of backlash and like, you can't do that. I'm 18. I'm an adult. That's not true because I'm sorry. I have a little room. Who pays gets to say.
Right.
So if I'm paying the bills, I get to say what's happening in my house.
What did you say? You say if you pay.
You say.
Okay. All right.
You pay, you say, I pay, I say. That's how it works. And so teaching our kids that, but it teaches them at a young age, like they don't just get something because their peers at school have it. They shouldn't just get something. It should be something they earn. They should be something that they're participating in, and they should be expected to care for it and take, you know, make it a priority for them. Not just, I watch these kids with these cell phones, like teenagers, high schoolers, they're all messed up, and oh, it's okay, my mom will get me a new one.
Oh yeah, I've seen it myself many times, even some of my grandkids, and seen, you know, the screen is totally shattered. I don't even know how they see anything. Oh, well, I dropped it, you know. And
my question is, Mom, why'd you buy another one?
Right.
Why did you do it? I mean, I can tell you, I had my oldest, he broke his cell phone when he got mad one day, and he threw it, it shattered, and he's like, well, I need a new cell phone. I said, good, you can save up for one, and when you have the money, go get what you want. And I made him pay for it, and you know what? He takes really good care of those cell phones.
Well, this is the problem, don't you think? Too many parents indulge the kids and go ahead and buy that phone or fix a car that the kid just wrecked.
And now they feel entitled to having this, whatever it is we're talking about.
Why do parents do this?
Oh, there's a lot of reasons, I think, behind that. Maybe to keep the peace, because parents don't want the conflict. They don't want to deal with it.
And the screaming and the, yeah.
I think some parents do it because they feel like they were missing these things in their childhood, and I don't want my kid to feel like he's not a part of the mass or the crowd or what everyone else can do. I think some parents just do it because they just don't have great parenting skills, and they're not sure how to handle these things.
I think it's all of those in a lot of cases. And I also think that parents too often, and we've touched on this in this series, want to be the kid's best friend.
They do. They want to be their kid's
friend. And so because they want to be their friend, then they want to, you know, make them like them. Because so many other kids hate their parents. Well, my kid loves me because, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. We're buds. Another thing, I'm working actually with a parent that I'm working with now. She keeps comparing what she did as a teenager, and she had a rough teeny life, and she did some really poor choices and had to pay consequences in her life. Oh, well, what she's doing is not as bad as what I did at 15 or 16.
Wow.
So it's okay. And, you know, trying to get her to see your choices should not be the bar for your child.
No, that's a huge point. That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
But a lot of parents will make it the bar.
A lot of parents are just operating from a vantage point of their past, whether or not they were underprivileged or whether or not they made a lot of mistakes, so your mistakes aren't as bad as my mistakes. And a lot of parents like to sit the kid down and tell them how bad they were.
Don't do that. Please don't ever do that. But yes, they do.
We've mentioned that concept before. Why are you telling parents not to do that?
You pretty much just gave them the green light to do whatever it is you just shared with it that you did. You're giving them the green light for and then some.
But they take it, the parent is telling them, oh, yeah, this was fun, this was crazy.
Right. A lot of
and,
them.
You know, it's funny, everybody's laughing about it, right? And then the kid, though, takes it differently, right?
Absolutely.
As
they
a
do.
Right for as, him,
mm-hmm,
right?
As the green light.
Green light.
I can do this, no consequences, because, well, mom or dad did it, and it was okay.
So if you're talking about rights versus privileges, how does the difference work in the everyday life? Okay, so you've got a troubled kid, and the kid has been given a car, let's say at 16, and he just doesn't take good care of it. He goes out and he wrecks it, and so now he's expecting another car, a better car this time around, etc., because he thinks it's his right. How do you get that child off of a right? And
back into privileges.
And back into privileges.
You got to hold accountability and consequences. So if our child doesn't take care of a belonging that we provide for them, why are we providing another one?
Right. But most parents that are stuck in that rights rut, the rut of rights, they really need help to see the difference, don't you think?
They do.
I think they're so, like, foggy on it.
They do.
The ones I've been around.
They get blindsided with it.
Yeah.
And you can't. You have holding our kids accountable is a good thing, and they see it as a negative thing, a punitive thing, and it is a good thing. That's how they learn to take responsibility, and they learn that life is not as easy as just give me, give me, give me, give me all the time.
Right.
Like, it takes money to work, you know, work to do things, and that takes effort and energy and talents and.
Well, so often these are the very kids who don't end up going to school or don't end up being able to go to college or get an advanced degree, and they start working at some, you know, little job and then they don't even stay there, and their work ethic and their work, you know, past or whatever you want to call that.
Right, correct.
Is really bad, you know, because they don't really feel like they have to work, right?
So their parents are rescuing them a lot.
Oh, okay.
So they're providing the roof. They're buying them the things they want. They're, you know, catering to that. And they're teaching them, oh, you can live for free as an adult now. Because most of those kids are right
adults,
at 18.
They're 18,
19, 20. But you don't have to contribute anything toward that. Life doesn't work that way.
It does not work that way.
I don't know. If I don't pay my bills, I don't get to live in my house. You know,
right.
I don't have electricity if I don't pay that bill. Why are we letting our kids think that you don't have to do anything and this is given to you?
Why are parents doing this, though? Why? It's common problem.
It is.
It's almost like an epidemic.
It is.
Around this nation of kids that are, I never saw that movie, but Failure to Launch.
Yes, I did see that movie.
Was it
and
a
yes,
good movie?
It was actually really cute.
Okay. But there's a lot of kids that are still living in their parents' basement or their back room or wherever or their garage.
Parents are making a cup. Their parents are still doing their adult kids' laundries and catering to them. And why? You're disabling them from their own life, and you're teaching them life skills that aren't life skills. Life
so
just
you're really hurting your children,
you're hurting them
right?
Bad.
You're hurting them, and I think parents have got this twisted idea, so many across America, that they're helping their kid because, oh, I'm taking some of the pressure off him by doing his laundry, you know, and by paying his car payment, paying his insurance on his car, and, you know, every time he breaks it, I fix it, and, you know.
Right, and so they feel like, well, what's the alternative? If I hold him accountable, then they'll just leave, and then they'll be on the streets and I won't know if they're safe. So at least now I know they're safe. That's the one I hear most of when
wow.
they're dealing with them. And that's an excuse to continue to enable.
Before we go to break, I want you to make this point before we go to consequences. Privileges. How do you turn the corner for a parent out there who says, I get all that. I get what you're saying. I've been living it, or my friend's living it, or my, you know, my sister's living it. How do you turn the corner from rights to privileges?
By conversation and,
okay.
and having accountability for those things that we give our kids. It becomes a privilege to have that cell phone. If you misuse it or you make bad grades, I can pull that right back. That's a privilege. You're not a right. You don't have no accountability for that.
But then the kid who has never had any privileges, it's always been his rights or her rights, can so get in a parent's face and tell them off and, well, if that's what you think, forget it. I'm doing it my way. Blah, 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 blah.
True.
How do you turn the corner? You just said conversation.
Conversation. It's got to start with conversation. And
put a
honestly,
stake in the ground in the family.
Right. I've been doing it this way. And you know what? I've been hurting you and I'm
yes.
not helping you.
Yes.
And we're going to change that.
We're going to
change
it.
And this is what it's going to look like. Absolutely. It's got to start with conversation.
We're going to come right back and we are going to talk about that a little more. I'm going to pick her brain just a little bit more on rights versus privileges. You're listening to Go Yard.
From a father or a mother, from my family, giving and receiving love is the way it's supposed to be. And I thank you, Mom and Dad, for the love you've given me. Yes, I'm grateful for the day that your lives included me. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for the life you've given me.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rettenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
You said, son, don't forget to pray before you go to sleep. I didn't realize.
All right, that was a nice song.
Isn't that pretty?
Yeah, who did that? What is the name of that?
Gosh, I don't remember who did that, but it was a good song.
It's called Song About Loving Our Kids. And, you know, I think a lot of times, welcome back to Go Yard Second Half. We're glad you joined us tonight. You can always text us your questions and comments on 727-888-4171 or send questions for our question and answer show coming up soon at goyard2014@gmail.com. So, we're talking about part three, last part of this series on teens out of control. And we were just talking about this before the break, about how do you get a troubled teenager to understand the difference between rights and privileges if all he's ever known is rights? So somebody just joining us, you want to explain that real quickly.
Absolutely. Well, it starts with conversation.
Okay.
And letting them know that, you know, I've been doing it wrong. I've been hurting you. And, you know, you think you should have these things because you breathe, because you're my child, because for no real reason other than you're here.
Like spending money in your pocket without you going and getting a job, or delivering pizza or whatever.
Or doing chores or anything.
Right. You having no family responsibility in the family.
And letting them know that, you know, we're going to change that in this house. And, you know, these are privileges. These are things we're giving you.
Right.
But they come with a responsibility. You want this privilege, you're going to have, you know, with freedom comes responsibility, with privilege comes responsibility, which means we can take those back at any time.
At any time. Right. And so for the parent out there that says, okay, I've explained that, now how do I implement it?
Well, implementing it is a challenge, only in the fact that when you first start implementing it, it's going to blow up. And they're going to like, oh my gosh, everything
it's
got
blow
worse.
Up. That's good news.
It is. I'm going to let you know. Things do when we're working with especially teens' behaviors, we'll see worse before we see better. It's always that way, and I'm going to tell you why it's that way. Because they're testing you to make sure you're really serious.
Exactly.
So if
they
they won't follow through. They won't follow through. They're going to give up. They're not going to want this fight, and then I'll have my way. And now you just gave your teen a heck of a lot more power.
Right.
So if you're going to start this endeavor, make sure you have the supports and the strength to let it get worse, and then you'll start seeing with consistency, they'll start backing down.
Something I read recently and applies in our spiritual lives, but also to this. There's no breakthrough without follow-through.
Absolutely.
You want to explain that?
Yeah, well, you're not going to get through this. Your thing, you know, your life isn't going to get calmer. Your teens, your household's not going to get back to where you need it unless you follow through with your plan.
Right.
And your plan has to have consequences and accountability, or you don't have a plan.
Right.
So expect it to be a little bit worse for a while.
Right. And the parent who goes, well, I don't want to go through that. Well, what's the other choice?
They're running your house, and you're just going to have to, then you've decided it's okay to let my teen run the house and have these things and do this.
Yeah. And it's only going to get worse, correct?
Absolutely.
This is not going to get any better.
It doesn't get better on its own. They don't wake up one day and go, gee, I haven't been very good at my mom, dad. Maybe I'll just be good now. They're not going to do that.
They're not thinking that way, because didn't we talk about once that the brain really doesn't mature or function
until they're 24 years old.
Explain that concept.
So our prefrontal cortex, our reasoning, our thought process, our cause and effect part of our brain takes until we're about 24 years old to fully develop.
Okay.
So when we're not teaching our kids cause and effect, they're not learning cause and effect.
Explain cause and effect to our listeners.
Well, I know I'm making
you break it down, but I think our listeners need to hear it. Cause and effect, what is that?
It goes back to rights and privileges.
It does.
Because if you don't do your chores, then you're not going to get this.
Right.
Cause and effect. This comes with this, or this is taken when this happens. You know, or if we have good behavior, we'll have good consequences. If we have negative behavior, we'll lose privileges or have negative consequences.
So all of that goes back to rights versus privileges.
It does.
So when they think it's their right with no consequences whatsoever to get in trouble, to smoke pot in your house, to, you know, to drink it out of the liquor cabinet when you're not home or whatever, there's a myriad of things that a lot of kids do that get them in trouble.
We're going against nature's system, because life is about checks and balances, cause and effect. You know, that's life. We live it every day. Why are we teaching our kids it doesn't apply to you? Mm-hmm. You're exempt from this. Because if they speed in their car, they'll get a ticket if they get caught doing so. That's the cause and effect of that choice. We all do.
About a year and a half ago, I got a new little puppy, Macklin, and you know her, and she's a sweetheart, little black and tan miniature dachshund. But my older one, Zoe, was like 12 then, and this little baby was not her baby, okay? But she took it upon herself to correct her, which I found very interesting. When Macklin would disobey or when she wouldn't come when I wanted her to, whatever, Zoe would go and nudge her, or she would kind of hiss at her or something, get in her ear, you know, and it was very interesting to watch. Even though this was not her child, she knew this was not right behavior. She knew she should, you know, this is dogs, for heaven's sake.
Right,
and
right.
We're talking about people. But the thing is, so often we don't want to take the steps necessary to help correct the behavior.
We don't. And I think a lot of times, I mean, most parents really do have great intentions for their kids, and they just want them to be happy and have a good life. But I think there's this overfeeling of setting those rules or those boundaries or doing that. That's just, it's mean, or I'm depriving them. And it's not. It's loving.
Okay, let me give you a real life circumstance, and possibly it will relate to some of our listeners. A teenage boy wants to stay out till whenever he chooses to come in. And it's 3 a.m. and you still don't see him. And so you're really worried about him. And then he eventually comes in, he's drunk and whatever. And so you confront him the next morning or the next day. And he screams and hollers, I'll do what I want to. I'll be 18 in 6 months, or I'm already 18, or whatever. And the parent backs down because they want peace in the house. This is what we're talking about. Now we come into the conversation of consequences. Why should there be consequences for that behavior? Some people would say, let's just make it happy and everything okay.
But everything's not okay, and it's not happy. So by not confronting the behavior, you're saying you're giving permission for it to continue and more. First of all, and as parents, that's our job, is to train our kids to be adults that can function in life and society and be happy and healthy. And when we're not putting those consequences in, we are giving them the permission for what they're doing. And how can we justify, you know, argue that this is a problem when we're letting them do it?
And so how about the parent, let's say the dad, who stands by because he wants to be the guy, the kid's buddy, right? And allows the kid to swear and scream and call the mother terrible, terrible names, and does not enforce any consequences. And there's no sticking up for the mother whatsoever. I think this happens a lot.
Oh,
in homes.
Think it happens all the time. And what you have is, what you have fed is a disaster, first of all. And you've taught, you know, your son that they can disrespect women, that they don't have to respect authority, and they can do whatever they
want.
And
what if they hit the mother? Let's say that this is just off, you know, off the top of my head. This isn't anybody I know. But what if the child then slugs the parent or threatens to kill the parent? Let's just go on, because that happens too.
Oh, yes. And a lot of parents cover it up under the rug. And they'll do anything to keep that kid, to bring him down. I'll take you shopping tomorrow. I'll get you those new shoes, just to bring that kid down and get him happy again.
And you hear that in
therapy. Oh, I hear that all the time. And what? No, there's consequences. If your kid threatens you,
you get a shopping trip.
Right.
And you get new shoes, or I'm going to go ahead and get you your car, because you are such a sweetheart and you have a right to have a really nice $20,000 car when you're 16. Yeah, that's cool.
Well, and a lot of parents will just say, well, if he has a car, then he'll be out and I won't have to deal with him. So you cannot take a passive role. Parenting is an active sport. I tell you over and over, it is not a spectator sport, and you can't parent in a passive role, period. You're not parenting in a passive role. And if you love your children enough, you're going to learn how to follow through and have structure, because that's love.
That is love.
It is love. It's teaching them how life really works.
There's a verse in Proverbs in the Bible that says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Do you want to explain that?
Oh, as I was taking a sip of water.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. And really what that's talking about is discipline and consequences. If we are not giving consequences, then our children are spoiled. They are entitled. They are not functioning people as they go through life.
Are you saying consequences are good?
Absolutely, they're good.
But I've had to sit in rooms, I'm sure, with parents and kids sitting there who do not think consequences are appropriate.
Yes, I have. A lot of times I'll hear parents think it's mean, or they're depriving their kid, and how could we treat him like that or her like that? And it's very backwards thinking. And as they're saying how this is mean, this kid is like telling their parent, you know, F you, I hate you, calling them all kinds of crazy names. And I'm like, why is that okay? Why is that okay for that child to talk to you? Isn't that mean?
Right.
Because you're letting that child do that, and we shouldn't. If your kids can't talk to you respectfully, they shouldn't have the right to be able to talk to you in that moment.
Right.
We're not having this conversation.
How do you stop it when it's escalating, Dr. Angel? Because we all know people, kids and parents who go through this kind of thing. What do you do when it's escalating? And the names of calling is flying, and the threats of killing and whatever, or I'm going to kill myself, or, you know.
So you have to go to the principle of what we feed grows, what we starve dies first.
Okay.
And so depending on what level your kid is, if your kid is talking to you and they're demeaning you and they're cursing at you, I'm not engaging in that conversation. I'm walking out of that room. We're not having a conversation until you can speak to me calmly and respectfully.
Okay. Step one.
So I'm starving that.
Okay. You're starving that.
That behavior
that
I don't want.
Behavior.
I'm not letting you.
Right.
I'm protecting myself emotionally. I'm not letting you think it's okay to treat me like that. I'm definitely not defending myself, which is a trap most parents get caught in. When that teen comes at them, they feel like they have to defend themselves because the teen's accusing them of, I don't know, something, whatever, because they're mad that they're not getting their way.
Give us an example.
So they'll call, oh, you're just a mean B-I-T, and they're, you know, all these mean words. You won't let me do this or whatever. And then the parent feels like they have to defend themselves. So they're engaging this conversation after this child cursed at them and demeaned
them. Stop engaging in this kind of. Disengage.
Starve it. I'm leaving the room. I am not going to we're not having this conversation. And my words are just that. We will have a conversation when you can speak to me respectfully and calmly. Let me know when that happens. And I leave. And I would not be a part of that conversation.
But a lot of parents that I've known through the years, and probably you too, would feel bad about that and go, and the kid is holed up in his room and the door's barred and locked and all that. Oh, honey, I'm sorry that you got upset.
And they do. And they take that responsibility. And it's funny because parents are wearing the responsibility of their kids' feelings, but they're not wearing the responsibility of their kids' actions. And it's backwards. We are not responsible for how our kids feel, but we should have that responsibility to what we allow in their actions.
That is profound. I think you need to go back over that concept because a lot of parents have that screwed up.
Yes, they do. So they're feeling responsibility for their kids' feelings. If their kid are happy or content or feel liked or have friends, the parent takes that responsibility, which is why they're not setting rules or consequences, because we don't want those feelings to not be good.
Oh, that's huge.
And not taking responsibility for their kids' actions and choices. And so it's backwards. We don't have responsibility for what our kids feel. It's not up to us to make them happy. I'm not happy every day, are you?
No. And so really, that's a principle, a life principle they need to learn. Because if you do that, that's called codependency.
It is.
Right?
Absolutely.
And for the person out there who doesn't know what that is, explain that.
Well, that's where you're really throwing me on the spot
today.
In essence, we're feeling responsible for someone else's feelings.
Right. So you're all the time compensating and coping.
And be there, and you're over.
And you're doing things you don't even really want to do, but you just don't want that person to feel
sad. For the sake of making them happy.
You're upset. Mm-hmm. I want my kid to be happy all the time.
But parents aren't acknowledging that they are responsible for their kids' actions, meaning that what my kid does when he leaves this house, I don't have control over what he's doing, but I can at least have control over what's happening in my house and to what I allow. If my kid is hitting my partner or my spouse, I'm calling the police. We're going to deal with this because that's the consequence.
Wait a minute. Calling the police. That is a huge red flag for most American parents.
They won't do it.
That is my impression. Am I correct or wrong?
Oh, I agree with you. They won't do it.
They won't do it.
Because
why?
The shame, embarrassment. I get the excuse, it's going to hurt him being able to get into college. And he was just mad. He didn't mean it. While you have a black eye.
Right.
Why did he
threaten to kill you? Are you going to sleep with one eye open the rest of your life?
I have parents who sleep behind locked doors because they're afraid of their kids, but they won't take action.
Wow.
We have to take action. And when our kids cross that line, yeah, we do have to show them there is a consequence. You don't get to. We're teaching them it's okay to physically abuse other people. So what happens when they have their kids or their wife someday? That's going to be okay.
And isn't that statistically what happens? Do you want to elaborate on that for a moment?
Absolutely. So kids who get away with physically abusing their parents, especially their parents or grandparents, and there aren't consequences, become adults who learn this pattern of relationships.
Right. And so they're going to find somebody, be in a relationship with them or marry them, and they're going to hurt that
or their
spouse.
Or their kids or whatever. They're going to learn that we take it with violence, and that's not what we want. So if your child has brought it to the violence line, you need to get law enforcement involved and not then go bail them out. That's another one. I had a parent call the police.
Oh, my gosh.
And then she was down at the police station an hour later trying to bail the kid out. I'm like, no, they have to feel that pain. Mm. We cannot take away their consequence.
Wow. Exactly. I mean, you just go back and look at these school shootings and look at the troubled teenagers that have pulled the trigger repeatedly or whatever they've done. And yet, generally speaking, there's been some type of history of mental illness or abusive behavior.
Behavior patterns,
I'm thinking about Sandy Hook. I remember that. I can't remember that young man's name. But he had a big history of treating his mother very badly.
Absolutely.
And the father was absent from the home, as I remember. But she had had him in place after place and all that. And he had quite a history.
Absolutely. And so when we learn that this is okay in our home, we're going to take it outside our home because it grows. So if your kid thinks it's okay that they can, you know, talk down at you or talk mean to you, they're going to take that out and do it to other people. If they think it's okay to hit you, they're going to be hitting other people. If they think it's okay to steal from you, not ask and have permission to use whatever they want, they're going to do it to other people, except other people aren't going to be happy when your kid's doing that, and they will be calling the police on your kid. And we have to use the consequences. Stop rescuing them.
Yeah.
Stop awfulizing with their life, because their life is going to be a heck of a lot worse if we let this continue like it's okay. And now they're behind bars for 10 years, 15 years, or whatever, because it grew.
Right. So the parent out there that's saying, boy, you sound like you're overreacting. What do you say to them, doctor?
Well, I say to them that I've seen a lot of children's lives ruined very, very much so by not having, they were out of control and no one loved them enough to help bring them back into control.
Whoa, that's a huge statement you just made. Love them enough to bring them back under control.
Absolutely.
Consequences are an action, a love action, right?
It is. Absolutely. It takes a lot of energy and a lot of effort and a lot of determination. It's not easy to follow through with those.
There's no breakthrough without follow through.
No. And you know what? There's no convenient time. You know, I was just teaching a class this morning and we were talking about when that, you know, it means leaving the grocery store when that kid we need to, or leaving a restaurant meal when we need to. And I was, of course, teaching people with a lot younger children, but that principle starts there.
It does, doesn't it?
So they know, I love you enough, I am going to stop what I'm doing, and we're gonna take care of this, because it's not okay.
And then how would you approach it? We're going to take care of this. Let's say it's 5-year-old causing a ruckus in a restaurant.
Well, we always talk about we want to use
throwing food. Let's just do something crazy.
Ooh,
like
throwing food,
screaming, whatever.
So I would remove my child from that situation. My child has no right to intrude on other people's experience of eating dinner in public.
There
you go. I'm removing that child if it's an extreme behavior. If they're making loud noises, even if they're happy noises and it's disruptive, I'm removing that child because it's not fair. And a lot of parents today feel like, oh, well, they should know this is a family restaurant and kids are just going to do that. Absolutely not. I had 3 young children all under the age of 5 at one time and could sit
Me
at a
too.
Restaurant and you did not, they were not disrupt anybody.
Right. Yeah.
Because it doesn't have to be that way.
And when they learn it at a younger age, it's a lot easier to make that a habit pattern, a life pattern.
But even that little thing about learning I can disrupt other people at restaurants and do what I want becomes inflated in our teen years to huge issues.
Right.
And so, you know,
kind
getting
of a
handle
root,
on
isn't it? When the kid feels like it's okay to do whatever he wants to do in the moment, and the parents are sitting there thinking it's cute.
Absolutely. It is. Those are the things. And that's what it is. Those are the lessons that our kids learn that set them up for negative behavior patterns. And I know our parents aren't doing it intentionally.
Right.
But they're still doing it. And so we got to stop that. You have to think about the bigger picture when you're with your kids. Like, how is this impacting their life as a whole? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, they were just, you know, giggling at the restaurant. What do you mean impacting their life? But you're just, what's the bigger lesson under this?
Right.
You know, and we're teaching a lot of really crappy big lessons.
So do you get a lot of parents and families coming through your work that really just don't have what it takes to implement any of this? They just don't want to.
Well, having what it takes and not wanting to are two different things.
Okay, explain that.
So everyone can have what it takes to get through this. Not saying they're going to be able to do it on their own, but with coaching and with help and with, you know, resources, they can do it. Anyone can do it. But a lot of people don't want to do it. As soon as they realize there's work involved, I have to do what? Oh, I ain't got time for that.
A lot of laziness and a lot of protectiveness of their children. And I've known parents, and maybe you can address this, who get on a bandwagon when they feel like, yeah, their kid messed up, but he did it because so-and-so said this to him. And then you told me once about a situation of a young teenage boy that had his skull bashed in. Mm-hmm. This is a few months ago, right here, near here.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead with that.
So the kids caught up to him and they beat him up and they broke four bones in his skull and he had to have surgery. And they knew who did it. They had to be on a shot of a doubt because the child left DNA during the incident. And through the court hearings, it was, you know, well, he didn't really mean to.
Mm-hmm.
He really didn't mean to do that.
Yeah. He did it, but he didn't mean to.
And it changes this child's life forever. It's a traumatic brain injury, but he didn't mean to. So we really, you know, need to give him a lesser punishment.
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
Lesser punishment?
Yes. He ended up with 1 year of probation.
Whoa. That's just not okay.
Mm-mm.
Wow. And it goes back to that entitlement, that feeling that they can do whatever they want to and there won't be hardly any consequences. Mm-hmm. That's how they've been taught.
And I hear that. I'll hear that in the court system. Oh, they're only 13. They're only 12. Well, they're only 12, but they just robbed a convenience store.
Right.
That's not okay.
It's not okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hear this from parents, well, marijuana's not that bad. After all, it's a good medicinal thing. You know, it helps people in pain. And your comment?
Well, that when you start opening those kind of compromises, you're really opening the door for a lot of stuff. Because you might want to minimize this, but what happens when they start picking up bigger things and more things? Because that's what kids' nature are, to continue growing into something. And so
they need the next high, right?
And what you really have taught them is, you can break the law because there are laws still on the books about it.
Sure.
So we're teaching them, oh, well, if you don't like the law, or if there's something positive and that there's a law against it, it's still okay to do it.
Right.
And we have to think about that. Yeah. You know, a lot of parents will let their kids drink it at home, and we talked about that last week.
Yes.
We're still teaching them that they don't have to follow the law.
Right. It's still that whole thing.
That's the bigger lesson.
Permission. Yeah, it's the bigger lesson. Oh, wow. So the parent that says, I'm just too tired to do all this, what you guys are talking about sounds hard, and I don't want to do it, and I don't think my kid's that bad anyway, but yeah, he does have some of those tendencies you're talking about. Talk to these people right now on the air, will you?
Well, I'm going to tell you that you can't afford not to deal with it, and you might be at a point where it might not be over this really horrible threshold. You're still coping and surviving, but it will escalate. It always escalates when kids think they can do what they want, when they want, how they want. It escalates, and you're not going to be able to keep up with their demands. Maybe you can now, but there will come a point where you
can't.
Explain that. Well, you know, they'll start demanding, you know, the name brand shoes, the name brand clothes, getting to do this, getting to do that. Now this, you know, $40,000 sports car. There's going to come a point where financially we just can't keep up with all their demands. Unless you have a lot of money, and that's a different story. But that you shouldn't be keeping up with their demands anyway.
You have a lot of money. No.
And it you may be coping now, but how are you living? Do you enjoy your child? I work with parents of very young children. They're 4 and I think 6. And they're like, we're just waiting for them to turn 18 so they can leave the home. I'm like, y'all are like right in the beginning of your journey, really? You're not that far in. What? You can't just start going to, they'll be 18 in so many years and out the door. First of all, a lot of kids aren't going out the door at 18 these days. And we got to deal with the moment.
A lot of times they get somebody pregnant or they are pregnant and a whole nother set of generation is right there. And you've not taught them how to even take care of their own selves, let alone their kids now.
Exactly. And it's not a way to live your life. It's not a way to have your kids. We should be enjoying our families. Our kids should feel loved. And part of feeling loved is knowing they have boundaries and that they are having someone who loves them enough and cares for them enough that will watch what they're doing and hold them accountable.
Boundaries are good.
They're very good.
We have a series we did early on in this show. We're in our fourth year, but early on in the first year, I believe we did a series on boundaries. That would be a good one for people to go back and listen to.
Absolutely.
It's on our website, goyard2014.org, O-R-G. And then, of course, all the podcasts here. But on our website, they're titled, so you can find that boundary series. I'm going to just – we've got about 2 minutes – and I'm going to let you just ramble here and hit the highlights, Dr. Falzone. You are a licensed mental health counselor, PhD. You work in this every day. You've worked in it for years. You teach classes. You teach parents. Just talk for the next couple minutes about what you want to sum up here with this series.
What I really want to sum up is if your child is out of control at any level, if you're feeling like they're entitled, if you're feeling like they're making commands and demands, you really need to take your house back. You need to love your family enough to say, I'm willing to do the work that it takes to take my house back and show, you know, get that power differential back and show my child that there are choices, there are consequences. That they're privileges. Things are not rights. Things are privileges. I'm going to teach them how to care for their things and not just go buy them a new one because they broke this one and hold them accountable and mean it. If you just can have consistency, you will have your house under control. It will take time, but you will get your house under control. Consistency means everything. If you're not consistent, you're going to have the biggest wars possible.
Because they're going to know. They can just
they'll break you. And they're
or
a kid. If they can break you 1 out of 100 times, they're going to bank on that one time every time and push it till they break you. So let's love our children enough to teach them how to live life in this culture, in this world, and teach them those skills that they really need.
And it's a marathon, not a race. You want to talk about that? Because you
slow
put that, you wrote that down.
It is. So you're not
going
to fix.
What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is it's a time. It's not like, oh, we're going to get it under control and then I don't have to put the energy in. It's a consistent thing. We're consistently putting things are going to come up and we're going to have new things to deal with as we go through this journey. You're not going to get everything fixed in a week. There's no easy pill. There's no magic pill. But stay consistent. You will get there.
Consistency and back to the point, this is love, really love for your teen. If you will set some boundaries, take away privileges, have consequences. If it means calling the police, you call the police. Whatever it means, you do the hard thing. That's what
yes,
you're saying.
This is about doing the hard thing.
This was part 3 of this series, Teens Out of Control. You can go back and listen to part 1 and 2 right here on TantalkNetwork.com. Go to podcast, go to Go Yard, and you can find it. Tell people about it. 3-part series. I feel like it was very helpful and very informative. Anything you want to sum up with?
No, I'm saying you've got this. You have the power.
And for parents to realize that and not be afraid of their kids, right?
Right. Take your power
Don't
back.
Don't be afraid of your kids. All right. Tune in again next week. We're starting a new series next week, and it's going to be a very good one, too. We've been talking about it and strategizing on it, so you want to tune in next Thursday night, 6:06 p.m., right here on TantalkNetwork.com. You can hear this show again at 12 noon Saturday and Sunday on www.starcomradionetwork.com. And this has been
Dr. Angel
and Mama Mac bringing you Go Yard every single week at this time. Have a great week, gang. See you soon.
Good night.